Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
Hi, guys. Welcome. Welcome to the gathering of Everyday Church. It's so good to see all of you guys here this morning, man. I'm super pumped that you're here. Super glad that you guys are here this morning. It's going to be a really good morning. I hope, man, God is just so good. And we want to step into that. We want to say, like, yes, God, we are so grateful for you, so grateful for all the things that you've done. This week just kind of, like John said, it just kind of got away from me. It was just like one of those weeks where it was like, it felt like it was never going to end. But then at the same time, it was like I blinked and it was like, oh gosh, it's Saturday. And we had our first baby shower yesterday. And Bailey was like, oh, yeah, we have our baby shower today. And it was like, oh, cool, what time? And she's like, I don't know. And so when we got there, it was cool. It was a 2:30. We got lots of cool things. So that was fun. Hey, thank you so much for being here. It's good to see all you guys this morning. If you're watching online, hey, thank you so much for jumping on. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. What's up? If you're listening later to the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoy. For those of you who don't know me or might have forgotten, my name is Pastor Dave. I'm the family pastor here. Jumped on staff in about April, and so we've been here ever since, and it's awesome. I love Everyday Church. I love being here, just standing there in the back, just watching you guys worship, just singing and pouring out your hearts to God. I got emotional because I was like, that's beautiful. Like, this is what it's about. Like, we are called to gather. We're called to be here together, worshiping and serving King Jesus, and so, man, that's just a beautiful thing, and it's something that I think has been important pretty much a long time. I remember growing up in church, remember singing and doing all those fun things and singing in the choir and just music and worship has always been really important to me. So that's a special moment. So thank you for being here and thank you for singing. Thank you, Hunter, for leading us. It's great, man. And Jonathan Castillo, as always, my dude, you just crush it. So when I was younger, I used to love to ride my bike. And not just like casually ride it like around the block. First of all, I lived in the country, so I didn't live in the block. I lived with the cows. And so like I didn't just like to casually ride, but I like to go really fast. And I like to jump things. I like to jump over things. I like to try to do tricks. And one year, my parents bought me this really cool ramp. It was like a set of ramps. And after a few weeks of getting the hang of it, learning how much speed I needed to get to make the jump, all those good things, I decided that, you know, I'm going to start trying to do tricks. I'm going to start trying to be really cool. And so I started jumping farther. I started jumping higher. And I learned two things very quickly. Number one, the ground is hard. And it hurts. So I would try to do a trick, and, you know, it wouldn't go well. And so I learned the ground is hard, and it hurts. The second thing that I learned, I needed a softer landing. And now I had been watching Nitro Circus and watching some YouTube videos, and so they always would, like, jump into a foam pit, and it would be, like, this coolest thing ever. But we didn't have a foam pit. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. We had a pool. And so they don't know this. And so I would strap on a life jacket, put on my helmet, because I'm not dumb. And so, and then I would get floaties, and I would tie the floaties to my bike, and then I would set up the ramp, and then I would just, you know, do what bros do. And I would jump into the pool. Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry, I love you. But, like, I did that, and after a few times, I realized doing tricks is really hard, and it was really hard to get the bike out of the pool. So I would, like, jump into the pool, and then I would have to throw the bike out of the pool, and then I would have to, like, climb back out of the pool. So after, like, five times of doing that, I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. So I went back to just jumping on the ground, seeing what I could do, and it didn't go well. I kept not succeeding, and one time I busted my elbow. We had to go to the hospital. It was all super fun and great. You see, I had faith that I could do these things. I had seen these videos. I had seen the people on TV, and I was like, those guys aren't better than me. Those guys are a lot better than me. And I was like, I can do that. I can do these things. I had the faith that I could be that guy. But as I continued to try and as I continued to fail, my faith and my ability to do those things began to shrink. My faith and my ability to do the tricks, let alone even make the jump, became shaky. And eventually, after I kept failing, after I kept falling, it got to the point where I wouldn't even make the jump anymore. I wouldn't even try. My faith and my ability to make the jump was so small, I wouldn't even try. I was tired of failing. I was tired of falling, and I was tired of getting hurt. And I had no faith in myself and the circumstance. So what did I do? I quit. I quit riding my bike altogether. And if there was ever a sermon illustration for the American church in 2021, I think that's it. I think that's it, because doesn't this seem just like us? And I think it does. I think this screams American Bible Belt churches, Bible Belt Christians, easy believing Christians. Because we say we have faith, but then life gets really hard, we get knocked down, we're faced with challenges, and what's our immediate response? God, what are you doing? God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? And then what happens? Life keeps getting hard, and things don't go the way we want them to. And eventually, we just give up. Why? Because our faith is small. Our faith is diminished, and we quit because it's better to quit than to get hurt trying again, right? Does this not sound like us? It sounds like me. I think this sounds a lot like me. How many times have I avoided a hard conversation or a tough decision or a life choice? How many times have I laid awake at night tossing and turning over a decision that I have no control over? It sounds just like us. Our faith is small, and here's what it's saying. When we look at our lives, this is what our lives are saying. It says we're fearful. It says we're anxious, that we want absolute control because we're not quite sure if God's going to be on the other side of the obstacle. And man, all I can say is God forgive us. God forgive us, because this is where I land so much. It's just tossing and turning, staying awake. Why? Because my faith is small. So last week, John introduced us to this new series called Big, and we talked about Big Jesus. Which is kind of funny to say. We talked about Big Jesus, like our Savior ain't small, he big. And so we talked about this giant Savior that we serve. Like, we serve a God who can do the impossible. We serve a Savior who did the impossible, right? He died on the cross, giving us new life. He rose from the tomb, giving us a chance to have a relationship with the Father, giving us the opportunity to have new life. We serve a big Savior. And can anyone guess what we're going to talk about today? Big faith. Today we are going to talk about faith. Not little faith, but big faith. And we're going to look at what Jesus says about faith, and we're going to examine how we can have big faith. Because for a lot of us, myself included, we got things backwards. We got things backwards. Our faith is small, fragile, and weak, but Jesus is going to show us today what real faith looks like and how incredibly powerful it is to have faith in God the Father. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke 17. That's where we're going to be at today. Luke 17. If you have your actual Bible, turn to Luke 17. If you have it on your phone, that's okay. If you don't have it, you can download it. There's lots of free apps on the App Store to download it. And then if you're like, I don't even want to do that, it's going to be on the screen. So we got that. I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version today, the ESV. So if you need to make some changes, choose a different Bible, all that good stuff. If you have a hard copy of the Bible and it's not the ESV, sorry. So Luke 17, we're going to be hanging out mainly in verse 5 and 6 today. Luke 17, verse 5 and 6 says this: the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And so this is where we're going to be hanging out today. Let's get a little background. So in order for us to understand the text, we have to get the context, right? We have to understand what's happening before and where we, how we got to where we are. So Jesus is in the middle of his ministry. Luke 17, we're not in the beginning anymore, but we're not like really close to the end yet. We're getting there. So Jesus is in the middle of his ministry. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's healing, he's being awesome. All of those things that Jesus does, this is where we are. In verse 1 through 4, Jesus teaches the disciples. I will reference them as the boys. So Jesus teaches the boys about temptation. He warns them that temptation is going to come. He says, look out, temptation is going to come. And then he talks about the tempter, the one who does the tempting. And he's like, basically what Jesus says, it's better for him to have a big rock tied around his neck and then thrown into the ocean. So that shows us that Jesus is, I would say, pretty serious about sin, saying have a big rock tied around your neck and then thrown into the ocean. Then Jesus tells the boys this incredible thing. And he says that if someone sins, they should be kept accountable, right? We can all agree with that. If someone does something wrong, they should be kept accountable. But if someone repents, we must forgive them. And then he takes it a step further and says, if someone does something wrong, if someone wrongs you 7 times in one day and they come to you 7 times in one day and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, I repent, Jesus says you have to forgive them. Even if they come, so what Jesus is saying, like no matter how many times they come up and sin, if they say, you know, I'm sorry, I repent, and they turn away from that, we have to forgive them. We have to forgive them. And this is a radical thing to do. This is a radical thing to say. He's saying that if someone sins and they repent, we got to forgive them, no matter how many times it happens. And I don't know about you, but that would be a really hard thing for me to do. If someone comes up and does like one wrong thing to me in the day, I'm already a little salty. Like if they did it again, I'd be like, okay, bro, what you doing? Like, what's up? And then if they kept doing it again and again, I would probably just lose my mind. I would probably just go crazy. I don't know what I would do. Yeah, probably go crazy. But let's think for a second. Why do we forgive people? Why do we forgive people? We forgive because we've been forgiven. Colossians 3:13 tells us that. It's like, forgive just as your heavenly Father forgives. Why do we forgive? Because God forgave us. So in order for us to rightly forgive, what do we need? We need faith. We need faith. And what do I mean by that? Why do we need faith to forgive? On our own, on my own, I don't have the power, the ability to do what Jesus just asked us to do, to constantly forgive people. I don't have that ability. All right, driving down the highway, if a little lady cuts me off, I get mad, whatever, we drive down, and I pass her because she's going like 20 miles an hour, and then she like passes me, cuts me off again, like I'm probably going to be really, really mad. Like on my own, I don't have the ability to just keep forgiving. But with God, I do. The Holy Spirit, I do. We need God to give us the strength to forgive, because on our own, we don't have that power. So let's take it a step deeper. What is forgiveness? So we're called to forgive. We need faith to forgive. But what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is not saying, hey, what you did was perfectly fine. We can be best friends now. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is saying, you know, I'm not going to hold on to what's been done. Rather, I'm going to show grace and mercy like God has shown grace and mercy to me. And I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have faith that God is good, that he is sovereign, that he is just. And I have faith that he holds all things together. And even when someone sins against me, I can forgive, I can let go of that weight, I can let go of that hurt, and I can let go of that worry. Why? Because I have faith that Jesus Christ holds all things together for my good and his glory. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. It takes faith to forgive. And Jesus just told us that we have to forgive and forgive a lot. And that's why the disciples respond, Lord, increase our faith. He's just challenged them with this incredibly hard thing. And they're like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. Lord, increase our faith. And then let's look at what Jesus says in verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. By show of hands, how many of you have actually seen a mustard seed? Raise your hand if you've actually seen a mustard seed. Okay, yeah, so quite a few. So just to give you an idea of how small it is, if you took a penny, and whose head is on the penny? Abraham Lincoln, right? Yeah. So if you if you took that mustard seed and put it on a penny, it would cover from about his mouth to his chin. On a penny. That's how big a mustard seed is. It's incredibly tiny, 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 tiny. But Jesus tells us that if we had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, we could see we could tell a mulberry tree to move, and it would move. And so when we look at these two verses, we look at the disciples' response to Jesus and then Jesus' response to the disciples, I think we learn two things. I think there's two things that we can see out of these verses. And so the first one, if you're taking notes, here's point number one. The power of God is supreme. The power of God is supreme. How crazy is it to think that we could look at a tree and say, move, and the tree would move? That's crazy. Like, if you sit and think about that, like, that's insane. How does that even happen? Well, let's be clear. It's not by your power. The tree doesn't move just because you're super cool. The tree moves because of the power of God. When we have faith, then things happen. It's not by my power that things happen. It's by the power of God. It's by the power of the Lord. There's nobody like him when you think about it. Nobody else can do what Jesus can do. Nobody else can do what God can do. Last week, we talked about big Jesus. Nobody can do things like Jesus. And Jesus tells us to forgive. And the boys are like, Jesus, give us faith, because that's really hard. And he says, if you had just a little bit of faith, you would see the impossible done. Not because we are that good, but because God is that good. Not because we're that good, but because God is that good. And this is why we don't put our faith in men and women and other things or even ourselves, because we're small. We're weak. We can't do those things. So we don't put our faith in things that fail and fall short, which we do, which other people do. Other things do. Instead, we put our faith in God, who is the author of our faith, who never fails, and whose power is unmatched, genuinely unmatched power. The power of God is supreme. The second thing I think that we see is that big faith starts small. Big faith starts small. Notice the order of events that Jesus said. He did not say, if you had faith of a tree, you could move a mustard seed. It's the other way around. If you had faith like a mustard seed, you can move a tree. In other accounts, in the other Gospels, when this story is recorded, Jesus says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Mountains. Have faith the size of a mustard seed and you could move mountains. Not faith the size of a mountain and you could move mustard seeds. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying you don't need faith the size of a mountain to move forward, to take the next step, to see the impossible done. Just faith the size of a mustard seed. That's it. Just a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith goes a long way. But how often do we get this backwards? Spoiler, it's a lot. We get this backwards so often. We don't have faith the size of a mustard seed because we're so caught up looking at the mountain or looking at the tree or whatever obstacle is in front of us. We aren't seeing the impossible done. We aren't moving forward, and we're staying trapped where we are because our faith is so incredibly small. So small. We think that in order for us to take the next step, we have to have this giant mountain-sized faith, but what Jesus is saying is you just got to have a little bit of faith. You just got to have a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith goes a long way. So what do we do? How do we have big faith? How do we get to us like, okay, we don't have big faith. How do we do that? How do we get to this big faith? How do we get to having faith the size of a mustard seed? And I think it all starts right here with this sentence. How do we have big faith? We have to make sure we're putting our faith in the right place. We have to make sure we're putting our faith in the right place. So how do I know that my faith is in the right place, that your faith is in the right place? Look at my life. Look at your life. What does my life say? So I could stand up here all day long, literally all day long, and be like, I have faith. 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 But if I lay awake at night and worry, if I try to take everything into my own hands, even the things that I can't control, if I try to take those into my own hands, and if I never step out and do what Jesus has said, no, what Jesus has commanded me to do, if I never do any of those things, or I do all those things, like staying awake and worrying constantly, I don't have faith. I don't have faith. If I stood up here and said, I just want you guys to know, I'm a professional fighter, but I never punch somebody, or I never kick somebody, or I never go work out. And if you know me, you know I don't do that. I don't go work out, right? If I sat up here and was like as serious as I could be, like 100% trying to convince you that I'm a professional fighter, you would laugh. And then eventually you would stop laughing and you'd be like, you're lying. Stop lying. Stop saying that. Like, it's not true. Why? Because I don't do the things that a fighter does, but yet when it comes to Christianity, doing that's okay. I said a prayer once. I walked down an aisle. I was baptized once. So, like, me and God are good. We're homies, but I never read my Bible. I hate being around Christians. I don't want to go to gatherings of believers. I don't want to do the things that Jesus has told me. You know, I'm living in sin. I'm doing all of these things. Like, we think that's okay. But if I told you, like, I'm a professional fighter, you'd be like, you're a liar. But we do the exact same thing in our faith. And it's like, oh, yeah, like, she's great. He's great. If we truly have faith in Jesus, then we're going to trust in Jesus. We're going to do the things that he commanded. We're going to look like Christians. We're going to act like Christians. How do you know an orange tree is an orange tree? Not because it produces grapes, because it produces oranges. You know a Christian is a Christian by their fruit. Scripture tells us that. And to take it even further, our lives, like, they prove the kind of faith that we have. And this isn't just me saying that. Let's look at James chapter 2 and see what James says. Verses 18 through 20 in chapter 2 of James. It says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by what? My works. You believe that God is one. So what James is saying, you believe in God. Good. You do well. Even the demons believe in God, and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is what? Useless. It's dead. My youth pastor used to always tell us this. He used to say, your works don't save you. Faith is what saves you. We can't earn our salvation, right? Your works don't save you, but once you're saved, get to work. Saved people do the work of the kingdom. Saved people will do the things that God wants them to do. They will repent from sin. They will want to be in their word. They will desire to be with God's people. They will desire to pray and worship and share the gospel and go and do the things that God has commanded. Faith without action isn't faith at all. That's what James is telling us. Faith without works isn't even faith at all. And I'm going to give you right now a picture of what faith looks like. So I'm going to ask Jonah to come on up here and Jonathan as well. I'm going to show you a little example of what faith looks like. Let me move this over here. I'm going to move it right up here. All right, so Jonah, go ahead and stand on the chair for me, and then turn towards your dad. All right, so Jonah, if I asked you to fall forward, would you trust that your dad's going to, you can look at him right here. You see him right there. It's easy to trust him, right? He's right there. But what if I spun you around? Go ahead, turn towards me. Right now, okay, so you can't see him right there, right? But he can talk to you, right? He can say, I'm here. See, he's talking to you. He could even tap you on your shoulder, let you know that you're there, right? So we can, you know, you're spending some time with him. You're hearing his voice, but you can't see him. Question, can we see God? No. We can hear him through his word. He taps us on the shoulder, lets us know he's there. We can feel his presence through his Holy Spirit. And so here's what, Jonah, I'm going to ask you to do. On the count of three, stick your arms out. I'm going to ask you to fall back, and your dad's going to catch you, okay? Do you trust that he's back there? Yeah, you believe. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Woohoo! All right, let's give it up for Jonah and Jonathan. They did good. Thank you. You guys can have a seat. You guys, that's what faith is. Jonah could stand in that chair all day and say, yes, I have faith. I believe that my dad is behind me, that he's going to catch me. But we know that she actually had faith, that she truly believed when she did what? When she fell. When she took that step. And this is the same thing for us. I could stand up here all day and say, I have faith. We, as a church, collectively can say, we have faith. But listen, EC, if we're not going and doing the things of God, if we're not giving our lives to Jesus, if we're not sharing the gospel, if we're not reaching our neighbors, if we're not loving, we had missionaries from Kenya here last week, if we're not loving widows and orphans, if we're not doing the things of God, if you have no desire to do any of that, we don't have faith. And it's not my place to sit here and be like, none of us have faith. You guys aren't Christians. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we need to prove our faith with our actions. We, in a sense, we have to let the bite match the bark, you know? And I say this out of a place from love, and I say this, you know, holding a mirror right here. I need to have faith. I need to step out and say, God, I'm trusting you. An example, Bailey and I, this last year, we've had to fundraise our salary. And when we started, or my salary, when I started here, that was one of the things, saying we need to fundraise our salary. And not going to lie, that was a really, really big challenge for us. We were like, okay, I don't know if God is going to be on the other side. There were many nights where we would just stay awake and just in tears and just, well, I don't even know how we're going to pay bills next month. And now we have a baby on the way, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. But here's what's happened. We took the step. We took the small step and said, okay, I'm trusting God with this month. Then we took another step and said, I'm trusting God with this month. Another step, I'm trusting God with this month. And guess what? God showed up. God has provided people to give to us so graciously, and there have been people who have given to us, and God has met us here. And so what does that do when we get to the next year, when we get to 2022 and we have to start over, and it's this new process, and there's a baby on the way? We know that God has been with us the entire time. God was with us when we were standing looking up at the mountain. As we climbed the mountain, God was with us, and God is already on the other side of the mountain. It's the same thing. Same thing for you guys. Take that step. How do you have big faith? It starts small, right? Even a seed has to grow, right? And then the seed is planted, and then it turns into a tree. Same thing with faith. It's the same thing with faith. So that's my encouragement for you today. My encouragement for you. Start. Just start. And you start here by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you have never done that, for real, you're like, I said a prayer one time, I walked an aisle one time, I'm good, you know, I got my free ticket out of hell. Man, give your life to Jesus today, for real. And put your faith in Jesus, saying, I know that Jesus came and lived the life that I couldn't live. I know he died the death that I deserved. And I know that he rose from the grave 3 days later, defeating sin, defeating death, giving us a way to have a relationship with him. It doesn't have to be this incredibly big ordeal. There's no special prayer. There, you know, you don't get bonus points for walking down an aisle. Like, it's just literally you and your heart and your relationship with Jesus. And if you're like, Dave, I believe, I trust in Jesus. I'm a Christian. I've just been struggling. I'm going to give you the exact same advice. Believers, Christians, followers of Jesus, the same applies to you. How do I have big faith? Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Start there. And then trust him with tomorrow. And don't, maybe not even tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow is too big of a step. Maybe you just say, okay, God, I'm trusting you with this hour. So you give God that hour. Then you say, okay, God, I'm trusting you with this hour. Then he gets that hour. And guess what? Your hours turn into days. Your days turn into weeks, weeks, months, months, years. Where's your faith at? Is it in somebody else? Is it in something else? Is it in money? Is it in the nation? Or is it in Jesus? Where's your faith at? So let's pray together. And right now, if you just bow your head, close your eyes, I want you just to do business with God. Just to say, you know, God, you know, repent of any sin that you might think of. To say, God, I'm sorry, I haven't had faith the size of a mustard seed. I've been trusting in myself. I've been trusting in other things. I've been trusting in other people. And give that to God. Give that to Him. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, we want to help you with that. There's connect cards at the back. Fill those out. Let one of us know. Let Pastor John or myself know. And if there's something that we can help you with, that we can pray for, pray with you, things like that, man, we'd love to do that. Just as we saw with Jonah, faith takes action. And it's not always easy, but it's always worth it. And we serve a good Father, a good God, who is always, always there to catch us. Father God, we love you. God, thank you so much for being a good God. You are big, you are mighty, you are strong. Lord, there's nobody like you. You are number one. And so, Father, we want to give our lives completely to you. Father, we repent where we haven't had faith, even the size of a mustard seed. God, we want to have that kind of faith. I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room and myself, God, that you would give us that kind of faith, that we would see mountains move, that we would see revival, that we would see people come to know you as Lord and Savior. God, help us. Help us, God, to have faith that is active, not a faith that is just weak and a faith that is just not good. God, help us to have big faith. God, help us understand that it's you. We don't accomplish anything by our own strength, but it's you. So, Father, give us faith. God, help us to trust in you and help us to live lives that are active in that faith. Father, I pray that today my brothers and sisters would be encouraged, that they would know that you love them, you care for them more than anybody or anything else. Whatever burden they brought in today, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would take care of it right now. Lift the burden off their shoulders. Lift the weight. Lift the hurt. Lift the worry. Jesus, would you be our everything? We know that we are safe. We know that we are secure when we are in your arms. And so that's where we want to be. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for my faith family. I'm just so encouraged and blessed by them. And I pray that we would go this week, that we would live lives faithful to you, because you are faithful and you are good. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.